We gather together as we live, people of God, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we join in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
The glory of the Lord has risen upon us.
Lift up your eyes and look around.
All gathered together to proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Your sun will never set again.
The Lord is our light and our salvation.
Your days of sorrow will come to an end.
The Lord is our light and our salvation.
Whom shall we fear?
Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Whom shall we fear?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We join in the Kyrie. God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We join in the opening hymn.
Gathered today.
became flesh and dwelt among us. Gracious God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Send your Holy Spirit upon us so that all who hear your word proclaimed will no longer dwell in the shadows, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Our first lesson today is from Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you, and as the bridegroom. Word of God, word of life. We'll read Psalm 36 responsively. I'll read the light, and you read the dark. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light.
Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright in heart.
Eternal God, you satisfy our hunger with your eternal feast. You quench our thirst from your well of life. By the gift of baptism, bathe us in your light so that we may act wisely and do what is good for all people, for the animals with whom we share the earth, and for your whole creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans and you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is in the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. God.
Please stand
if you are able to prepare for the gospel.
Save.
second Sunday after Epiphany. The appointed reading today from John chapter 2. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I think just about any pastor can tell you that things go wrong at weddings. That things can always go wrong at weddings. When I am meeting with couples doing premarital visits, I remind them that no matter how carefully they plan their service, something's going to happen unanticipated, and it might feel like a crisis at the time, but down the line it might be something they remember and actually chuckle a little about. I remind them that it is in stage productions where you rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and hopefully everything goes perfect, and any cataclysms that come along are covered by good acting so that no one in the audience knows. Worship services are interactive. They're human. Things happen. If they go perfect, then we're practicing too hard. We're not being real. Things happen at weddings. I remember a wedding in Belfouche, South Dakota. I was the last minute pastor because their pastor got called away for a family emergency. I drove the 40, 50 miles over there from wherever I was. It was a Saturday. It was about 113 degrees, if I remember right. The night before at the rehearsal, the six groomsmen had showed up pretty much stewed, and I had to remind them that not tomorrow. And while they were sober the next day, they were definitely aware that they had partied the night before because there was discomfort. They wanted their shoes to match, so they went out to the hardware store and got some black enamel and painted all their cowboy boots black so they matched the tuxes that the groom had ordered for them. A waste of good cowboy boots and good paint. It was so hot in that church. It was packed, standing room all along the walls. Every space was filled. I did the quickest wedding I've ever done. We left all the unessentials out and got through it before anybody hit the floor. Not that they would have anyway, but they were pinned in by other people. The next summer I had a wedding again, not from my congregation. There was a couple planning to get married at another church. I believe it was in Spearfish, South Dakota. And between the time they had planned their wedding and their wedding day, the pastor had moved. And a new pastor had been called who knew nothing about it and had scheduled a different wedding that day in that church. So here it was, just a very short time before their wedding. They had no pastor, they had no church, they didn't know what they were going to do. The Missouri Synod Church graciously allowed their space for the wedding. I came as their pastor, met them, I think, just like a week before the wedding. It was a beautiful wedding service, and we kind of mused about all the things that can happen in a wedding, because things go wrong at weddings. And that was kind of my message for him and how we lived through them, all that. And then the matron of honor went into labor. Another quick wedding. We did not waste time with that one either. Things can go wrong at weddings. I have seen it as a pastor. I've seen fewer weddings the longer I'm a pastor. Over 30 years, the age of couples has gone up a little bit. Some of that, I think, is a good thing. Some of it with fewer weddings. It seems that the relevancy of a worshiping congregation is fading. There are many people who want to get married in a church even though they have no connection to a church and do not plan on having it. And they certainly don't want the reception there because they want to have a dance and alcohol and long hours of celebrating and not have to clean up so that we can have worship on Sunday morning. Things change a lot. The hardest weddings are probably those when I meet a young couple ill-prepared to be in a relationship already, severely, very difficult. You can't just say, you two shouldn't get married, because I don't know that. But I do worry about them. My colleague, now I remembered what that note was. I got a note that says colleague 15 minutes, and I couldn't figure out what it was. My colleague, when I was on staff in a large congregation, had a wedding one Saturday afternoon. They went across town to the reception hall, 15 minutes into it, the couple got in a fight, and that was the end of their wedding. It lasted, all told, at most a half hour. Weddings are tough. They're human events. Weddings are where we gather together to throw our hope in the face of the world, to proclaim hope and possibility and blessing and life in the midst of a weary world where death and destruction all too often rule, where divisiveness becomes all too real, even in the best of couples and relationships. Weddings are where we invite the whole public world into our private lives and throw our private lives out in front of the world. Incredible experiences. Sometimes they become about status, social standing. I got to put my glasses on so I get this right. I learned yesterday that the average wedding in the United States costs $33,391. The average in New York State is $76,900. In some cultures, the wedding is an opportunity to build status. In some traditional cultures, the giving of gifts by the family to the guests is a way to proclaim status, even if it bankrupts them for generations, proclaims status to the couple getting married. The bigger the gift they can give, the more valuable, the more status, the more hope, the better omen it is for that young couple getting married. It's a celebration. So, this is where we meet Jesus, at a wedding in Cana. Some of that status stuff may have been true in Cana. Some scholars say that weddings were in Jesus' day, Jewish weddings were an interesting thing because you had the betrothal, which was actually the legal wedding, or certainly the negotiation and the settlement on the terms of the wedding. And then you announced it, and then you had the wedding worship service where the community was gathered to cheer them on. And then you had the wedding feast, 7 days, a 7-day celebration to get the wedding off to a full and good start. It was a big deal, and families, some scholars say, would pour everything they had into this feast for reasons of status, for reasons of pride, as a hope offering of joy to the world. Guests were used to bringing something in terms to add to the feast, so it became a communal event that everybody participated in, a socioeconomic adventure. And so when they ran out of wine, it was a disaster for everybody. I'm not sure. It seems like it probably was a bad omen for the wedding, for the couple. Certainly destroyed status. People would remember that. Yeah, you know, halfway through the feast, they ran out of wine. What kind of a feast was that? This is where we meet Jesus. This is where we meet God in the gospel today. John starts out saying, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. John begins his gospel. The first three units are kind of like chapters. He calls them days. And on the first day, this happened. On the next day, this happened. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Not necessarily three consecutive days, but three chapters. And then he gives up on the whole day thing. It kind of collapses because John already knows, and he is so excited about what happens on the third day. We call it Easter, huh? The empty tomb. That he starts talking about it at the beginning of his story, talks about it all the way through. It's chapter 20 before we learn about the empty tomb, but here we encounter it in chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, a celebration of life and hope, a celebration of resurrection. The mother of Jesus comes up to him and goes, "Hey, they have no wine." Ma, that's not my problem, nor is it yours. Some people worry about Jesus smarting off to his mother. He was about 30 years old when he was born. He had a lifespan of 40. So this is not only an adult kid, but an adult kid three-quarters of the way of his presumed journey through life already. So maybe by then he'd earned the right to say, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me?" Maybe not. We'll leave that be as it is. The mother, in the Gospel of John, the mother of Jesus is not given a name. She shows up three times. She shows up in the story of the wedding at Cana. She shows up when Jesus, from the cross, entrusts her to John, to the disciples, in effect to the church. And she shows up right in the middle in one little verse where somebody says, "Well, isn't this just this Nazarene kid? We know his mother and father." That's the only places it shows up. The key framing places are the wedding at Cana. "Hey, they're out of wine." She jabs him again in the ribs. And on the cross, where Jesus said, "My hour is fulfilled." They're leading up to the cross. You know, "Receive her. She is your mother," to John. "Woman, behold your son." That framework, I get to wondering what exactly John is talking about. Because John is always talking on two levels. John has this born from above thing and lifting up the tree and lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, it's a two-level thing. And when God becomes flesh, it's the joy of a father as for his only son. John uses father language in those levels. I wonder if this isn't a mother language from the same from above, indicating maybe the Spirit at work. Or the church gathered, or something like that. The mother of Jesus was there. "Woman, my time has not yet come." That's chapter 2. "The time is fulfilled, my hour has come." That's chapter what, 17 or 18, something like that. I'm not good at remembering where things are. But that's the framework in which Jesus' ministry happens. That's the framework for the wedding at Cana when they run out of wine. And he calls the servants, or Mary kind of sets him up. "Do what he tells you." I'm not the son of a Jewish mother. I'm the son of a Norwegian mother. I know the feeling well. Just do what Dan says. And walks away. And everybody looks. "I don't even know what's going on." "Fill the jars with water," Jesus said. "Now take some to this chief steward." And the water had become wine. The steward did not know that it was the water that had become wine, but the servants knew. The servants knew. They were already in and aware of, "My hour is now here," even at the time when "my hour has not yet come." That's where the church lives. That's where we live. We know the story of John 20. We know of the resurrection of Jesus. We know of the kingdom of God breaking into our world, and obviously it's not totally here yet. We wait for it. We know it's here. That's who we are as the church. That's who we are as the body of Christ. And so as the church, we live in the resurrection. That's our proclamation. We proclaim the resurrection as a historical event, as a theological truth, as something real and motivating for our lives, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, even when we don't know it. We still proclaim it. Because that's the promise we have from God. Live in it. Let it become real. And so we go through life as people of faith with the Spirit, the advocate, jabbing us in the ribs and going, "Hey, there's hungry. Hey, there's racism. Hey, there's people who live on the streets. Hey, there's injustice. Hey, hey, hey." We live in the knowing that Jesus' hour has come. The hour has not yet come. And we get poked and prodded and needled. And it's easy to do like Jesus and say, "Wait, the time has not yet come. When Christ comes again and the kingdom of God is fully established on earth, then it will all be well and there won't be hungry and there won't be racism and there won't be injustice. And then we can all sit back and clap." And in the midst of that, the Spirit goes, "Hey, there's hungry people out there. Do something. Do what Jesus says. Hey, do what he says." And we live with that. The wedding at Cana is our story as the church, caught in between already here, caught between already here and not yet here. That's where the church exists. That's our baptismal proclamation. That is our baptismal promise. We see the kingdom when we proclaim and live into it. We trust God's word in Christ. We live in that wedding feast between God and creation, knowing that things go wrong at weddings, knowing that our actions are not sufficient, knowing that there's challenges, knowing that there are barriers. In our baptism, we are accountable to confront those things. In the wedding at Cana, the barriers were dissolved, possibly socioeconomic barriers. The family's crisis was averted. Certainly the barriers between heaven and earth, between God's kingdom here and not yet here at the same time. In baptism, we are called to proclaim God's justice in the streets and alleys of suburban city, from the mountaintops to the deepest valleys. We're in the middle of a holiday weekend. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, first celebrated as a federal holiday in 1986. Some states celebrate it different ways. A holiday that recognizes the importance of justice. When someone is denied justice, the whole community suffers. When justice is restored, we all benefit and grow. The process seems to be imperfect, but it does happen. We continue to proclaim God's presence with us, God's kingdom among us. We're the servants. We know. We know that the water's been turned into wine. We got to get out there with God's good wine and share it. In Jesus' name, amen. And we join in the hymn. You're invited to stand as you are able.
The melody and the rhythms that we'll be singing are a little bit different than what's printed in the bulletin, but you'll catch on. It's pretty easy.
He came down that we may have love. He came down that we
moments to greet one another as God's people.
Thank you.
The words to the Apostles' Creed are printed in the bulletin. We gather around the font with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus to confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Strengthen bishops, pastors, deacons, and all who lead your people in ministry. Pour out your Spirit and make us bold to proclaim your reign of mercy and justice. Lord, in your mercy. For the earth, for vineyards and orchards, fields and gardens, urban parks and wilderness areas, fill the earth with your abundance and provide for the needs of all living things. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations, guide leaders and decision makers toward the well-being of all in their care. Strengthen those who work to uphold human rights for the sake of the dignity of all people. Shelter communities threatened by violence and show us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, transform us and fill us with your life, so that we pour out your love in service to the world. Bless all who work to provide food for others. Lord, in your mercy. For those in need, for those who face scarcity of resources, and those who struggle with debt, for all who suffer with chronic pain, all who grieve, and all who are ill, we pray especially for those that we name before you, with our hearts and with our voices.
For Jim's friend Patty and his dad, who are facing surgery.
We give thanks for the life and work of Martin Luther King and of all those who have striven and died for the sake of justice and equality, and for all those who are still working toward equality for all.
For these and all the prayers of our hearts, Lord, in your mercy. Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please be seated. We continue with the offering.
I can't feel you, I will not fear.
trust in you, and I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will trust in
you to stand as you are able as we join in the offertory prayer printed in the bulletin. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks.
We give you thanks at all times and in all places, O Lord, through Christ our Lord. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened our eyes in faith to a new and radiant vision of your presence, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see, the God whom we meet at this table, the one who comes to us as he came to Jesus and the disciples the night Jesus would be betrayed. He took the bread, he spoke the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this and know that I am with you." And again at table, he took the cup. He spoke the blessing, he gave it to them, and saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this and know that I am always with you." We join in singing Lamb of God. Sing that every time I hear that, I'm reminded of a college student named Ben at a ministry at a different college than where I was serving. But when the Cranberry Red Hymnal came out with this service in it, and he was a gifted pianist and musician and composer, he was playing through it and learning it, and he got done, he said, "That's the sexiest Lamb of God I've ever heard." Ben has been on my mind a lot this week. Ben and his wife and cousin, as seminary students, were in Haiti when the earthquake hit. His wife and cousin survived and were able to escape the building that fell in on them. Ben was trapped deep down in there. They could hear him singing as long as he lived. So we pray for God's mercy as we pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
As we forgive those who trespass against us,
and lead us.
us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Please be seated. Table is set, the meal is ready, communion is served by intinction. Receive the bread, dip it into the cup. The darker liquid is wine, the lighter is grape juice, and there are gluten-free wafers available as well. Just let me know. All is ready and all are welcome. Come to the feast.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and hold us in his grace. Amen. Announcements. I'll start. On February 24th, the last Sunday in February, we will be welcoming new members. So if you are interested in becoming part of this congregation or learning more about that, catch me and make sure I have your name if you haven't already, and so we can be prepared. So we will have that celebration on the 24th. The other thing to mention as I look around is it is Confirmation Sunday today. We're going to go to the upstairs room. We have a little more room because our class has grown some since we started this winter, fall. Goodness, it's January already, almost February. And so that will start about a half hour from now or a little more somewhere around 12:20, 12:30. Other announcements.
So, movie night. Movie night's growing. The attendance grew. If attendance continues to grow at the rate at which it's grown over the last two movie nights, it will soon be stadium seating only. it's going great. Our next movie is a relatively new one called Exodus, God and Kings. We'll see how Hollywood deals with that story and perhaps have some good discussion. Since it's a longer movie, you may remember every third movie is on a Saturday evening at 6 p.m. So the next one is on January 26th at 6 p.m. And if we have a smaller group, we'll meet upstairs. And if we have a larger group, we'll move the whole thing down here and watch it down here. And then there's schedules out for the rest of the current movie night season. So pick one up over here. And please feel free to join us. We've got drinks and popcorn and good conversation before and after. And if things just get so furious, we'll have good conversation during the movie.
That might drive some people crazy.
Then, the other thing, just wanted to remind you that even though we haven't had severe weather yet, we're still in those months where that severe weather could show up. And that severe weather is really hard for homeless folks, people out on the street. So we've got a list of things. Washington County works with other organizations to provide shelter for homeless people on particularly cold nights. And we're collecting up things that those people can get at those shelters. So please pick up a ticket over here that gives you a list of useful things. And also, if you have an intuition that you might have things that people could use that aren't on this list, talk to myself or Lisa or Christine or talk to someone about what you've got, and we'll see if we can find a home for it. Because we not only have the Washington County community that we work with, but also Divine, who you may know, attends our church and is a recent college graduate, is now working with a social services group in Salem. So she has contacts in that community. So there's no lack of need and no lack of good places where things can go if you have stuff you're looking for. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. So I have three announcements. First, I was asked to. So next week, between services, we have an all congregational meeting to vote on the budget. The second thing is if anybody is interested in being part of the nominations committee, please reach out to somebody on the exec or council, somebody on one of those committees or any of the committees. Third thing I have is we have task force after this service here. That's all, thank you.
Oh, go ahead, Karen.
You got it. I'm gonna piggyback off Tom's announcement and say that there's a shelter actually in Forest Grove that has a full-on operation where folks that are experiencing homeless can actually come and get gently used clothing. So if you have any items that you'd like to donate, this is again separate from the severe weather shelter, but any items, there's a lot of folks that are experiencing homelessness that are full-time working, so that's something that's new this year. So any old professional clothing, things that you'd normally take to Goodwill, Salvation Army. I'd be happy to make a run if you want to bring it next Sunday. I'm going to go actually after that and drop off whatever items folks bring to Project Greenlight at the Old Town Church in Forest Grove. Thank you.
Okay. Your 2018 giving statements are on the usher station if you haven't picked them up yet. So please pick them up. It saves us a stamp. And then I was going to make an announcement. So if you're here last week and now you're here today, you probably noticed a big change in the decorations of our sanctuary. We had our tree taken down by Reynold and Wendy yesterday, which was very nice of them. Reynold chopped it all up. He had some fun. He only broke one ornament. A little sacrifice. And then John Petapoli and his wife Christina, and then Subhash, Monica, and Kirti, and myself, and Julie Zetterberg were all here yesterday, and we took down the decorations and put them all away. So if you get a chance, say thanks to those people, and yeah, thanks.
Anything else? Okay, may the God who surrounds us, the God who walks with us, the God who blows through us, bringing us together and sending us out into the world, go with us, giving us hope and peace in the face of everything, light in the face of dark. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we join in the closing hymn.
Thank you.
right when I got to it, I was like, oh, it's right now. And then I was like,